Energy retrofits offer a huge opportunity in the home building market, but sometimes you get more than you bargain for. Extra insulation can cause water problems like freeze-thaw cracking, efflorescence, and interior damage. Last week, Dr. Joe ended his discussion on energy retrofits by saying that the amount of drainage space depends on a few things. One of them is the type of cladding you use. Some claddings, like thick masonry walls, can actually store more water than they ever get hit with. This Green Building Advisor podcast series is excerpted from a two-day class called Building Science Fundamentals, taught by Dr. Joe Stiebrick and Dr. John Straub of Building Science Corporation. For information on attending a live class, go to buildingscienceseminars.com. This week, Dr. Joe expands on the topic by talking about the relationship between insulation and water management, specifically what you need to think about when retrofitting old masonry buildings.
The context here is very important. You don't insulate the wall of a mass assembly like this until you've taken all of the other low-hanging fruit into account, right? You know, what's the biggest penalty here? Well, the glazing system, followed by what? The roof, followed by all of the air tightness, right? Then the efficiency of all of the other stuff. I mean, this is already, I would say, probably an R10 wall. You know, I've already got myself an R10 wall. I got an R1 window. So I'm going to not deal with the wall until I've done the other things. Now, the issue is that sometimes I might not be allowed to do some of the other things. You know, it's very difficult sometimes to redo these windows because of the historic restrictions. There are ridiculous rules, and you know, these agencies are going to end up having to start recognizing that, look, we got a planet to save and a republic to protect. Now, there are all kinds of folks that have different views. There's a pretty famous architect in town, is it Leland Cott, who interprets the historic tax credit stuff differently than other people. And we should be able to rehabilitate and do something with these windows. But many times you're gonna be told that you can't touch the windows, and if you can't touch the windows, you know, you're gonna run out of things to do pretty quickly, and so the walls are gonna become a candidate. Well, where's the drainage plane here? You know, this is four layers of stone. Well, 1% of the water passes through the first layer, and then 1% of the 1% pass through the second layer, and then 1% of the 1% of the 1% pass through the third layer, and by the time we get to the fourth layer, there isn't any stuff passing through. So the water is leaking in, but it's stored and dissipated. We have what we call a very large hydric buffer. So water enters, but it's stored in the mass of the assembly, and the assembly is moisture tolerant enough to deal with it, as long as we don't put what on the inside? Vinyl wallpaper. And it would be really stupid in that wall to put steel studs on the inside, insulate the steel studs with fiberglass, and cover it with what? A plastic vapor barrier. That would be a stupid thing. Could you insulate it on the inside? Well, it would be real nice to insulate it with, you know, a couple of inches of foam. You know, the high density foam probably wouldn't want to go more than 3 inches because it's 3 perms per inch, and so it's, you know, a vapor retarder rather than a vapor barrier. With the low density foam, you could go to, you know, 10 or 20 inches. That doesn't make sense. I mean, you could go as much as you possibly wanted if you had the space. But you probably don't want to put something on the inside that doesn't breathe at all. So what's the idea, what's the likelihood of wrapping the outside with a membrane, putting insulation on the outside of this and adding vinyl siding? This is why we don't do things just for energy conservation reasons, because that would make the building what? Really ugly. And ugly is bad. Beautiful is good. In fact, I wouldn't let them touch the walls at all until after they did the roof, until after they did the foundation, until after they did the windows, until after they did the lighting and the heating and the mechanical systems, and over my dead body, then I would let them do something with the walls. In fact, the only thing that I would like them to do is maybe repoint the mortar in the joints. I know I'm not going to completely stop water, but I'm going to maybe reduce it. And later on, when we talk about retrofits and foundations, John will talk about how important it is to get the chemistry of the mortar that you're going to use for repointing just right. Are there negative consequences that are associated with adding thermal resistance to the interior? Is that going to change other factors? Remember, we talked about drying potential. Can I add too much insulation or sufficient insulation that the water content in the masonry stays high enough, long enough to hurt the masonry? And the answer is yes. I can cause problems with Fries Law. I can also enhance problems with osmosis and efflorescence and other issues. And the question is, well, how much insulation can I add before I get into trouble? And you're going to hate this answer or love this answer depending on whether you're a client or a consultant. The consultant answer is it depends, and you should pay me to tell you what it depends on because it depends a great deal on where you are and what's going on. The client hates that because the client would like to know, well, what? All right, well, what does it depend on? Well, freeze thaw damage isn't a problem if water doesn't saturate or wet your cladding system or your wall system. So the best, most effective way of dealing with freeze thaw is all of these wonderful water shedding elements. You can insulate walls to a great extent if water isn't concentrated on the surfaces. And so there's a big difference between something like this, which has got wonderful drainage mechanisms all over that facade, versus a very smooth brick veneer, for example. And it's one of those judgment things. I can look at a building and say, wow, this is really well drained. I am not going to have water concentrated or running down one aspect of the facade. Now, usually an old building will tell you if it has those problems because you walk around the building and you look at the stain marks, right? So the first thing that you do before you do any insulation is you install your drip edges. You deal with your flashings. You deal with the rain shedding things that will basically kick the water off of the surface. So if the water isn't concentrated, you're never going to have a freeze thaw problem. What's the next issue? Well, you don't even have to do that if you're in a part of the country where it doesn't rain. There's a much less of a problem with freeze thaw in Edmonton than there is in Montreal. Both are cold, miserable, disgusting places, but one has more rain than the other. One has more likelihood of surfaces getting wet. So what's the other factor? Well, so we have rain, concentration of water on surfaces. You also need cold temperatures. It's rare that we have to worry about freeze thaw problems in places like New Jersey and New York City. I don't think we have much to worry about in Boston, but I'd be real nervous in Burlington, Vermont, and I'm real nervous in Ottawa, and I'm kind of semi-nervous in Toronto. And so most of the United States isn't an issue with respect to insulating these mass assemblies on the interior. Now, this is more of a Canadian issue and a northern New England issue and a Minnesota issue than it is a Chicago issue, a Boston issue, a New York City issue, a Philadelphia issue. So, you know, so you say, well, okay, can I insulate a wall on the inside in Boston that's a mass assembly? I'm going to say pretty much yes without restriction in terms of R value. Should I have a vapor barrier on the inside? No, you shouldn't. And it would be nice to keep water from being concentrated on the surface of the building. When we start getting into, say, Portland, Maine, now I'm going to say, I think you probably shouldn't insulate more than R10. What's that based on? A gut feeling. I have a really big gut. I've been around a long time. And it's an intuitive experience-based thing. In other words, I've been around a long time. I've looked at buildings for a long time. And, you know what works and what doesn't based on what you've seen out there. Now, people always ask us to do a calculation. And I'm sort of saying, you know, why? Why don't you trust my judgment and intuition? Well, the sophisticated client will, because they know that if we generate a calculation, it's going to be based on what? Intuition and judgment experience, right? The unsophisticated client, you know, we love them because, especially if they have money, because we get to do what? Take it and, you know, write up a report. You know, basically we write up a report, we do a wonderful woofy simulation. And, you know, it looks really thick. There's all kinds of equations and numbers in there. And at the end of the day, we know it has the right answer because we knew the right answer before we started. And the right answer came to us from what? Observation and experience. We worry a lot about this stuff in Montreal and Ottawa. We're nervous about it in Toronto. We're not nervous about it in Boston at all because we know exactly what we have to do to Boston to never get into trouble. Control the flashings and the rainwater. Don't put a vapor barrier on the inside, knock yourself out, repoint your joints, you're done. It's so difficult in Ottawa and Montreal that we generally don't comment on it because we don't know what the answer is. We let other people take the risk and we watch them, right? Because, you know, clients, how many times is a client going to hire you when they ask you a question, you say, shit, I don't know, what do you think? Let's try this and see what happens. I mean, that would be the honest thing to do, and when have you ever had a consultant tell you that? The honest thing. We'll show you a retrofit of a bakery that was done in Newark, New Jersey, where, you know, 2 inches of high-density spray foam and then an inch and a half metal stud with gypsum board. What a slick way of doing stuff. What a slick way of doing stuff. Now, are we doing that kind of stuff in Burlington, Vermont? Well, the answer is, well, yeah. But, you know, how come I'm not worried about it? Well, the two or three buildings I've been involved with, the folks really went to a lot of effort to ensure that the parapets were properly flashed, that the windows were properly flashed, that we had drip edges, and so that we weren't concentrating the water on the surface. When we did that, we unhesitatingly said, okay, now you can insulate with the closed cell high density foam because I don't have the risk of water leading to this damage. Right. At the end of the day, no water, no problem.